In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On this feast of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin, the lesson is from the book of Ecclesiasticus. From the beginning, before the world was, I created, and unto the world to come I shall not cease to be. In the holy dwelling place I have ministered before him, and so was I established in Sion, and the holy city likewise I rested. And my power was in Jerusalem, and I took root in an honorable people, and the portion of my God, his inheritance, and my abode is in the full assembly of saints. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus was speaking to the multitudes. A certain woman from the crowd lifted up her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee son. But he said, Yea, rather are they blessed who hear the word of God and keep it. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. You may be seated. Today we have a great grace today, right? Celebrate the feast of our Blessed Lady. Our Blessed Lady of Presentation in the Temple. But isn't this Mass also offered for a different purpose? What is this Mass known in its other form? Maybe you know at home. No? Okay. Fabian does, because I drilled it into his head yesterday in the sacristy. It's the Missa Ora Pro Orationibus. Those of you who know Latin know what that means. But that's the Mass where we pray, ora, for, pro, who? Orationibus, those who pray. It's a Mass we pray for those who pray. Who are the ones who pray? The ones who pray? Not specifically all of you together, but praying for those who are in consecrated life. Those are the ones who pray. So this is a Mass where, remember, throughout the entirety of the year, what do we do? What do? We ask for prayers for ourselves. Through the entirety of the year, 365, sometimes 366 days out of the year, what do? We go to the monasteries. We write letters to the sisters. We give them phone calls and leave messages on their machines. God willing, we don't have to email them because we don't want them to be infected with the internet. What do? We ask them for prayer. Church turns its entire focus onto those who pray for us, those who are fighting the battle on our behalf, those who are holding back the forces of the evil one on the front lines of the spiritual battle that is our life in Christ, where we turn our gaze to God and beg for them as the church. Give them the strength because they need it, and we need them to be strong in prayer. So today is the day Misa Ora Pro Orationibus, the day when our Blessed Mother was presented in the temple as a little tiny girl, where St. Anne, St. Joachim went and gave her to the church. She who was conceived without the stain of original sin, greatly embracing her vocation to be totally belonging to God, to minister in the temple. Just like all those in consecrated life, those men and women who fight the battle on our behalf. We may feel like we're on the front lines of the battle, but we're way, way far back. They're the ones who are there doing the battle for us. Because remember, as the scripture says, our struggle in this life is not against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities and powers and those dark forces which wage their work against. Go unseen. And those who are unseen to your eyes and mine because they're hidden within the convent, hidden with God, they're the ones who are fighting most strongly against them. And the only little efforts that we make in our spiritual battles are made possible to even put up a an affront against those difficulties because they're the ones who are doing the bulk for us. So today, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for our sisters down there in Roswell, the Port Clair Monastery out there. Pray for them that they would continue to be strong and faithful to their vocation. Each and every one. If you know them by name, call upon them. Led under the leadership of Mother and Angela. Mother Angela. Pray for her. As well as for Vicaress Therese. Vicaress Sister Therese. Mother Vicaress. Pray for her as the second in the order there. And all those who are under their care. Pray for those who are in our Carmel there in Santa Fe. Go and visit them every month. In fact, I think a year ago I was graced to offer this Mass with them. Pray for them. Pray for those who are under the care of Sister Marie Burnham, and as well as their second sister, Marie Anthony, Anthony Mary, which one is it? Marie Anthony? Okay. I confuse her name. I flip the Mary around sometimes. Pray for them, because they're the ones who are doing the battle on our behalf. Yes, pray for them to have more vocations, strong vocations, true vocations, lasting vocations. Continue on what we're studying, the virtues of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Remember, we've gone over all of her three cardinal virtues, or the three theological virtues, the way in which she lived them out so beautifully. We talked about her relation, her virtues in relationship to her and God. And now we're moving through her virtues and how she relates with mankind, with men. Last week, we talked about how, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how she related to her superiors. Last week, we talked about how she related to her inferiors. And so what do you think we're going to talk about today? How she relates to those who were her peers. Not her superiors or her inferiors, but her peers. Those of you who think about it, it's a lot easier to interact with those who are above and below us. Sometimes we struggle with those who are on our same level. Listen to Our Lady and find out how it is that she lived out. We're supposed to imitate. Mary's love for her equals. Amiability toward one's equals is a virtue which attracts less notice than does obedience to superiors or benignity to inferiors. And yet, perhaps, it is more rarely found. St. Ambrose, in his enumeration of the virtues of Mary, ever virgin, does not omit to touch upon her goodness towards her equals, but he indicates only its negative quality. Mary's amiability in dealing with her equals was not mere freedom from envy, non invidere, but rather it was charm of her gentle words, her self-adaptation to the ways and disposition of others, the careful heed she paid to times, places, and persons. In the end, she shows towards all that courtesy and love which give charm and ease to human intercourse and conversation. It is true that we have not those minute details of Mary's private life which alone could portray her to us in winning ways with her relatives and friends. But it is certain that she never moved the women of Nazareth to envy or jealousy by displaying her prerogatives. She lived unnoticed, making herself like in all things to the other women who called her mother, the mother of Jesus, as was in our gospel. But she knew nothing, but they knew nothing of the incomparable dignity of the mother of the Son. In treating with her relatives, she was always affable and kind. At the marriage feast of Cana in Galilee, we see Mary with Jesus sharing in the rejoicings of the spouses and of their relatives and friends. Mary, though a virgin who cared not for worldly pleasures, was bright and joyous to all those at the nuptials. For she would not separate herself unnecessarily from others, and she wished to show proper deference to the claims of kindred. But in the midst of the innocent mirth and feasting, the wine failed. Mary, with delicate perception, knew how to combine affection for her relatives with ardor for God's glory. She who had not once during 30 years asked Jesus, her son, for a miracle to gratify herself, now feels gently constrained to ask such a favor for others. Her petition obtains from Jesus that wonderful wine, which, while it fills the guests with new and mysterious gladness, strengthens the disciples in their faith. It is generally believed that during the 3 years of our Lord's public ministry, Mary followed her son in company with the pious women who ministered to Jesus of their substance. Also, in this, Mary did not bring herself into notice, but merely conformed to the national custom, which was that of women should render such services to those persons of authority. But it was a slight to move the admiration of the angels to see God's own mother passing from place to place in the company of poor women, and demeaning herself like them in the rendering of the humblest services. Methinks the daughter of Jephthah, who for 2 months wandered with her companions among the mountains to bewail her virginity, as you can find in Judges chapter 11, verse 37 through 38. Such an example is far less pathetic a figure than the Virgin Mother, who during the space of 3 years goes with the pious woman from town to town, from village to village, that she may tend the Divine Master with an ineffable love. So what do we see in Our Lady's virtue and the way she dealt with others? Those who were not her superiors, those who were not her inferiors, but those who happened to be on the same strata as her. Oftentimes, within our pursuit of holiness, what do we see? We look around at the world and we say, well, I'm not going to engage in that thing. I'm not going to be a part of that particular thing which is custom for those of my same life and group. I'm going to separate myself in such a way. Mary didn't seek to do that. She knew that she was different. She understood her divine dignity. She understood the cause of her son. She understood everything that was going on, but realized that she was not to be seen as anything different than any of the rest of humanity with regard to them. Not, as it spoke within our meditation, to seek to make her own prerogatives felt among those who were with her. And so she mixed. She engaged with those things. She didn't pull away from her relatives who had a just demand upon her needs, upon her goodness. She didn't seek to place herself at a stable, I don't have to go in the same way as those who are weakly following our Lord. I'm his mother, so I should have a better place. I should be the one maybe who is tended to rather than tending to others. Am I not the mother of God himself? And so seeing herself in that way, chose to live in that humble existence as there, being joy in the midst of everything, not seeking to have any distinctions to that others might attract their attention to her, but always having her attention attracted to those with whom she was. In this way, Our Lady lived that true benignity or kindness. This is the essence of what we speak of our Lord, particularly when we pray to his most sacred heart. What is that beautiful prayer? We pray, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, what? May my heart like yours, like unto thine. Well, Mary did what? She herself had that meekness of soul, meaning not weakness, but rather recognizing the strength, the power that she has in humility, knowing that it's great, and seeking not to use it to wage her own weight upon others that it may be felt, but rather, as our Lord speaks within the Gospel of Matthew, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be served and give his life as a ransom for the many. And so, our Blessed Lady, and we as Christians, as Catholics, so are we. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.